of the Spirit is given to everyone to profit withal. So it's to our advantage, and we're just in the beginning segment out of the nine manifestations. We started with the three revelation ones, in other words, where the Holy Spirit reveals something to us. The first we did was word of knowledge, then we did word of wisdom, and now discerning of spirits. And I know that some weeks something else happens and we skip it and come back to it. And today, I would like to go to Mark chapter 5, in the first 20 verses, and read this account of a man that was filled with and possessed with nearly 100 demonic spirits, and how only the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus could set that man free. This is going to show you graphically how important these things are, and how we as ministers of the gospel, and I like to refer to all of you as ministers, because Paul said we're all ministers of reconciliation. And each one has gifts and skills and talents, and we're not just people that fill chairs in a sanctuary. Each one of us has a specific call on their life, and God expects it to be fulfilled. And these are ministry tools that have been given to us. We've all received the gift of the Holy Spirit, but how he chooses to reveal himself or manifest himself is his business. That's not our call. We can't make these things up. We can't just try to make something happen. It has to be by the Spirit, and the Scriptures teach that it's as the Spirit wills, not as you and I will. Chapter 5. And this happened right after Jesus and the disciples started across the Sea of Galilee, and the disciples went on ahead in their boat to meet Jesus on the other side, and that was the encounter where they saw Jesus walking on the water in the night and thought they saw a ghost. And so this is where he was going. There's a place called, well, it's actually the land of the Gadarenes, and it was a little bit south and east of the Sea of Galilee. You can find that on a map of Israel if you go back and look at some of the old maps. So I'm just going to read the text and come back to it. There is so much here that I doubt we'll actually finish it today, because there's just so much in 20 verses. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, and neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is your name? This is Jesus talking now. And he, meaning the spirit, answered and saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there, nigh unto the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter that into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea or drowned. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and saw him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to your friends, and tell them how great things the Lord has done for you, and has had compassion on you. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. So often, probably many of us in the sanctuary have read the Gospel of Mark, and Mark really seems to be able to bring out the plight and the hurt of humanity and what it is the enemy of our souls has done to people to keep them from entering into the fullness, that more abundant life that Jesus came and promised to those who would follow him. And this was a routine ministry day for Jesus. You know, whether it's casting out devils or opening the eyes of the blind or healing the sick, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, feeding the 5,000. See, when you're empowered by the Holy Spirit, none of those things are any more difficult than the other. They're all the same. Did you know that the same power that God has given you to heal the sick, he's also given you the power to forgive? No other person in the world has ever had that power to forgive except Christians. The world can say they forgive, but they don't, and they won't. They can't. They can't get rid of it. It sticks in their craw, if you will, and they always remember what somebody did, what somebody done to them. Somebody done somebody wrong. You know the bar song, you sit and get hammered in the bar because somebody done somebody wrong, and they all sing the same song. Just think about this man who was so tormented by an unclean spirit. He had no life. They chained him in the graveyard, far out away from the town. And no chains, the strongest chains that were known to man, could not hold this man bound. He would just break them suckers and run through the woods, run through the mountains, and shrieking and screaming, out of his mind. Like the howling, the boy in India with the howling spirit, he did the same thing. They didn't chain him, but he would often run away in the night, and he would just go out in the mountains around Telavati and just scream and howl and shriek in the woods all night long, disturbing the neighbors. They kicked him out of school. He was only 16. He was an absolute terror in the school, and they kicked him out of the school. And nobody knew what to do with him, just like this guy. No one could bind him. No one could contain him. And there were times when he had the opportunity to speak of his own rather than the demon spirit speaking through him. In one of those, this man ran immediately. Verse 2, and when he came out of the ship, immediately there met him one out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. Now, a person who's possessed with the spirit is not going to be quick to run out to see Jesus. That's not going to happen. But the man somehow met him, and he spoke to him. you come down a little bit further, verse 6, but when he saw Jesus afar off, the man who was in the tombstones, when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. That's the man, not the spirit controlling the man. And so the conversation is mostly between the unclean spirit in the man and Jesus. And if you don't catch that, you will, because we're going to look at it kind of line by line so that you can see how important it is to be functioning under the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit that's in you to deal with a person who is literally, really demonically possessed. Not just influenced, but possessed, where a demonic spirit actually indwells a person. And as soon as this man in verse 6 saw Jesus and ran and worshipped him, immediately this unclean spirit, and how did Jesus know it was an unclean spirit? Because the Holy Spirit gave him the discerning of spirits to know what spirit he's dealing with. And the spirit had a name. Jesus asked him what his name was, and the spirit spoke and said, "I am Legion, for we are many." And this is what the demonic spirit said. Cried with a loud voice, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God?" Now see, just before that, the man cried out and wanted to worship Jesus. It said he worshipped him. He ran to him and worshipped him. But immediately that spirit said, "No, you ain't. We ain't going there. I adjure thee by God that you torment me not." Jesus was recognized by every demon hell could conjure up. And so are you. You have the Spirit of Christ in you. And every time you get up in the morning and your feet hit the floor, you've heard me say with a big smile on my face, all of hell is saying, "Oh my God, they're up." Why? Because they know you. They know who you are. They know whether you're the real deal or not. That's why this is so powerful, because even the spirits are subject to his name. They cannot stay in his presence. When he says come out, that spirit has to go. When you say come out, that spirit has to go. You have just as much authority and just as much power. You're his body now. You're empowered with the same Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. So let's go a little further here. Come out of the man, you unclean spirit. Red letters. What is your name? Carl Erickson and I went to a prison in the Czech Republic on one of our ministry trips because his parents, we went to visit a man, and his parents they came to the place where they could do nothing more with their son. And they called the authorities and they put him in a place that was like a jail. He had a 24-hour-a-day armed guard and he was all alone in a cell. And they couldn't do anything with him. They just had him in a cage. And his parents asked if somebody would go to see him, and Carl and I said, "We'll go." And we were shocked at the conditions that he was living in. It's not where you can go to the law library and get a degree and then come around and bring a lawsuit against your captors for roughing you up or mishandling you and all that. No, that's not the way it is in some countries around the world. And we came on behalf of his parents, and there was an armed guard in that cage the whole time that we were in there with that boy. And we started having a conversation through an interpreter, and when he knew that we came at the request of his parents, he became more friendly toward us. And we asked him, why are you here? And he said, I don't know. I don't really know why I'm here. There were never any charges. It was just a holding place because they didn't know what to do with people that were out of their minds. They just lock them away, just like Legion, or this man who had the spirit. And so we began talking about spirits. And, oh, I remember what it was. He was going around speaking to people and wanting to heal them like a Christian would do. Only he wasn't a Christian. He was using the power of another spirit, and he openly said that. And he had 9 demon spirits. And the reason I know he had 9 was because we asked him, how many spirits do you have? And he said, 9. And I said, what are their names? Write them down. And he wrote down the names of 7. And I said, this is only 7. You said there were 9. He said, I know, but I'm not allowed to reveal the names of the last 2. Those are the most powerful, and those are the names of the 2 spirits that give me the power that I have. And after a period of time, we shared the hope of Christ with him in the gospel, and that Christ could set him free from the power of all of those spirits, but he would have to be willing to renounce them. And he said, I'll renounce the first 7, but I will never renounce the last 2. So he did give us a list of the 7, and that was very helpful, because when we left him, he would not renounce all of them. And so we left him because he just was totally convinced that these 2 other spirits were more powerful than Jesus, and he refused even to allow us to cast them out. See, the person has to be willing to be free too. If you notice that the man who had the legion of demons ran to Jesus and worshipped him, and he wanted to be free. There was an indication that he knew his plight, and he wanted to be free, and he knew that it was only Jesus that he could be free. My. And this man in this prison was like a jail. He didn't want to be, really. He wanted the power of those last 2 spirits. But we did have the names of 7 spirits, and that was very helpful because there were a lot of very powerful, some full gospel businessmen's chapters that believe, like we believe, in the fullness of the Holy Spirit and the gifts and manifestations. We gave them that list and that boy's name and hooked up his parents with that local chapter so that they could communicate with each other on behalf of their son. And also so that some of the leaders of the chapters could begin praying against those spirits to cause him to be willing to renounce the other 2 so that he could be saved and be totally set free. So it's important to know your authority, to know the power that's in the name of Jesus, but also for the Lord to give you discernment what spirit you're dealing with. Otherwise, you're guessing, it's speculation, and you become suspicious of a person, not even knowing why. Even we as believers, if we don't watch ourselves, we can get into the guessing game and think we know something when we don't. And so it was the same in that prison. We didn't know that this boy was in there for demonic possession in the beginning. But when we mentioned his parents, that opened the door for a conversation to start. And we couldn't guess, so we just came right out boldly and asked, because I've read this so many, many times, and I know that demons have certain manifestations just like the Holy Spirit does. But they're the exact opposite. And then, as you go on a little further in the story, why did why, the question always is asked me, why did Jesus allow the spirits to depart and go into a herd of pigs? Well, number one, to the Jewish people, pigs are unclean, and they would have nothing to do with pigs. But number two, Jesus came for the Jewish nation, and these people did not worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They worshiped idols. So it didn't make any difference. They were all of that same spirit. So to Jesus, okay, you can go from the man. And they went into the pigs, and the pigs went insane and went off the cliff, and they were all drowned. Because remember what Jesus said? That the thief comes to kill, steal, and to destroy, but I am come that you have life and have it abundantly. Those demons wanted to destroy that man's life. And the only thing that saved that man was his will to want to be free. And the power of Jesus' name and the Holy Spirit in him was the only thing that was powerful enough to free him from those spirits. Then, of course, once he was free, he wanted to follow Jesus. But a little incident happened along the way. All the people in the village heard about the pigs all drowning. And this was a profitable business for somebody to have a herd of 2,000 pigs. I mean, look in the Philippines what you could do with 2,000 pigs. They could raise them and have meat, you know. And their whole livelihood was gone instantly like that. It was wiped out. Boy, I'll tell you, bad news spreads fast. Listen to Corrupt News Network. Bad news spreads fast. And so they all had to come out and see what happened. And here's this guy from that village, clothed and in his right mind, and it frightened them. They liked seeing him in his element of chains, in the graveyard, chained to the tombs, breaking them and then just running crazy free. They were accustomed to that. They were used to that in him. But when they saw him clothed and in his right mind, it brought fear. And I don't think the fear was fear of the changed man. I think it was fear of the one who changed the man. A great element of fear came upon them, like, boy, I know I just bought a coffee table from your dad, but this, I can't handle this. And fear was taken back to the village. So you got two groups of people. You got the ones that were terrified of what had just happened, and then you got the others that they got to come and see what happened, to see for themselves. And of course the man wanted to follow Jesus. He was already in the boat. The deal was done. They're on their way back across the lake. And Jesus said, nope, you need to go back. You need to go back to your village and tell all your friends. And I don't know how many he had. Maybe he had one or two, but I don't know. Yet, go back and tell your friends the great things that the Lord has done for you and had compassion on you. Now, put yourself in that spot. Would you go back to the people who had enslaved you and chained you and bound you in a graveyard for the rest of the days of your life? See, it's really hard when you get saved and the Lord delivers you from all of the things that held you bound. And then he says, I know you want to follow me, but part of that is going to be, now you're going to have to go back and tell all of your friends. Because that's where the real Christian rises up, and he's not afraid. Because you know what happened to you. You know what the Lord set you free from. You know you were forgiven. You know that your life will never be the same again. You know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you will never be afraid. And there's so many more facets of the story that fascinate me, because it's like the story of life. Maybe you didn't have 100 demons. Maybe you didn't be bound with drugs or alcohol. But maybe it was unforgiveness. Maybe you just grew up on the wrong side of the tracks and you were a rough and tough person and thought you had it all together and found out you really didn't. And then you had an encounter with Christ and you got saved. And now you have a life of hope. You have a life of purpose. And I like what you said. I don't have to go around telling everybody what I can't do anymore. I like being able to tell people what I can do under the unction and the function and the anointing of the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus that we all have. And this is why the discerning of spirits is so important. It is absolutely vital because we don't see a lot of people like this in America. We can drug them out. We may not be able to cast the spirits out of them professionally, but they're drugged out into a state of la-la land. Sad to say. Actually, I know a couple. And they just long to be free. Yep. No, no.
So where do they go?
They just stay here until their time. Several other places it talks about they cried out, why torment us before our time? Because they know that there's a time when Christ returns and all of those demonic spirits are going to perish in the lake of fire. But until they do, they're bound by believers. They're bound by the name of Jesus, and their only activity that they can get away with is what they do, and no one hinders them, no one stops them. That's why the church is to be such a powerful living organization or organism, if you will. You have the same power operating in your life that Jesus did. There's so much of a revelation of the body of Christ in the book of Ephesians. That's why it's taken us 3 years and we're only in chapter 4. When you understand the authority that you have, the power you have, it's not in you, in your physical being, but it's who lives on the inside of you and the authority you have. Don't wait. You know what? God would have let that man stay right there in this plight if he hadn't have cried out for help. And no, they're not dead, and they're like angels. They are angels, they're fallen angels. And spirits live, and that's why they never change their manifestations, because each spirit has certain manifestations when you see it. Not really, because there's one account of when Jesus was teaching about when an unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he goes roaming and searching for, goes through dry places, looking for a new home. What he's doing is he's looking for another person to occupy. And until he does, see, there's three heavens. The first heaven is the earth. The second heaven is in the atmosphere around the earth. That's where spiritual activity takes place. And there's a third heaven where the throne of God is. And that's where Paul went. But he talked about if there's a third heaven, there has to be a second and a first. And they have echelons of command just like the military and just like angels. And we could spend the next 10 years doing studies on demonology. But that's a good question. They don't die. And so I don't tell them where to go. I just tell them to get out, because they're already living on borrowed time, and they know it. That's why you see those things in the scriptures. Why torment me before my time? Because they already know. They know who Jesus is. And the seven sons of Sceva, they tried to cast a demonic spirit out of a man, and they got thrashed to smithereens. They were barely get out with their hide and their clothes were ripped off and they were battered almost dead because the demons in that man, one of them cried out, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? Don't be the one. Don't be the one. Who are you? When the demon asks you, who are you? You tell them who you are in Christ and remind them of the authority. See, this is You know, Gary talks a lot too about the authority of the believer. Well, what good does it do if you never exercise it, if you never use it? You got to set your foot down right square on their neck and declare, this isn't happening anymore, and be persistent. Some spirits only go by fasting and prayer, but don't go out not knowing. Wait until the Holy Spirit shows you what spirit you're dealing with, and that's why discerning of spirits is one of the revelation manifestations, something revealed to you. When a spirit name is given to you, it can come by a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, or the discerning where the Holy Spirit will literally tell you the name or what type of spirit you're dealing with, so that it's not a guessing game and you can be fruitful and more powerful in the ministries that God has given you. And most of all, don't be afraid. There was a lot of fear the day that lady came in and kicked me in the stomach and barking like a dog. She didn't know who she was dealing with. I'd just been back from India, where real demons roam around all the time. That didn't scare me at all. I don't even think I stopped praying for anybody. Why? Just deal with it. Be done with it. No? So I like showing these biblical accounts, because you can see that all of society has these issues. The Bible is not strange to this new generation that we call ourselves the millennials. They're not new. All these demons have been here from the fall of Adam. The Holy Spirit's been here from the beginning. And people are people until they have a heart change, until their spirit is changed. People are the same everywhere. Everywhere you go, people are the same. They all have the same problems. They all have the same issues. They all have the same weaknesses. And they're all subject to being saved. Gary, I know you're just foaming it. No, I don't want to use that word. Christians don't foam. They bubble. Yeah.
It wasn't a matter of asking what that spirit was. If you're trying to find out, I didn't think about it. I just took authority.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you probably, in that situation, didn't make contact. Pray to the Lord and ask what it was, what the spirit was. You just took authority.
Well, sometimes you know instantly.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you don't have to know the name of it, though.
No. No. You just know where it came from and know that you already have authority over it.
It didn't have the right over you.
Didn't have the what?
Right.
Oh no,
right.
No. The only power they have over you is what you allow them to have, what you give them. So, I believe the next week we'll have communion, and following week probably we'll go into the next section, the three vocal manifestations, prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues, and the benefits and the blessing of each of these. So hopefully this has been helpful to some of you, to help you better understand and not be suspicious or accusing somebody of something when it may not be true. All I know is that when you see certain manifestations and you know your Bible well enough and you see the manifestations in the scriptures of spirits, what they do to people, it's quite easy to see that when you see them manifest.
Who would like prayer? Would you like prayer this morning to you?
Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for this precious time we spent together. We thank you that each of us came and received from you things that will help us in our walk, our relationship with you, but also in our relationship with others, in our families, our workplaces, our fellowship time. We thank you that each one of us received what we came for. And sometimes we may not have even known what we came for. But we know that you make deposits in our lives that will continue to build on that firm foundation of Christ. And we thank you today for your word. We thank you that it ministers life to our spirit man. We thank you that your word gives us wisdom and knowledge and understanding. We thank you that you're our comforter, you're our helper, you're our standby, you're our advocate, you're our counselor. You're the one who empowers us to live our Christian faith every day. And we thank you as we leave this place today, that we walk out of here reminded again of the power and the authority that the one and only true church of Jesus Christ is, the body of Christ. And that we don't have to sit back as second-class citizens and wring our hands and say, oh me, oh my, this whole world's going to hell in a handbasket. We have the authority and the power to do something about it, starting right where we're at and right where we live, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. We go out with victory. The shouts of praise are in the tabernacles of the righteous, for the Lord has done great and mighty things. In Jesus' name, amen. We're dismissed.